The podcast you're about to hear is a comedy show intended for an adult audience, and it contains explicit language. All opinions are our own, and we may sometimes go on tangents that are not at all about figure skating. Strap in, enjoy, and remember, our safe word is Quad Sal. Let's go. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I am great. How are you, Netta?
It's been 84 years, but I'm fine.
I know it has. We discovered like a new subset, like a new corner of Murphy's Law, where if you announce to the public, like, oh my God, things have been so crazy lately, things actually just get worse and crazier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Things have been happening a lot. And by things, we mean things in our lives, but also things in figure skating. Worlds is next week.
Worlds is next week. So what we wanted to do for you today was to make up for lost time, kind of do a Worlds preview, but kind of flavored as like looking back to Four Continents and Euros, you know, some flashbacks, some like interesting storytelling devices.
Wow. Non-linear.
Non-linear. Like where it's 2024. It's season 5 of the Iced Tea Podcast. We're experimental now, bitch.
Finally, it's been a long time coming, I feel like.
I was going to say, it's like we met in experimental theater school, so I don't know what you were expecting.
Yeah. It's only taken us this long because we wanted to really gather an audience. And now that we have you as a captive audience here.
We're so ready to alienate you.
It's gonna get worse. Welcome. No, we just, of course. The thing is, I pitched this idea back when Euros was happening. I was like, what if we just combine all of it into a Worlds preview? And I'll tell you what my logic was behind that is because everything that happened at Euros and everything that happened at Four Continents, the only thing I could think was, oh my God, this is going to be so weird at Worlds. It's going to be a bloodbath at Worlds because we have deep, deep fields this year and many things are up in the air.
It's true. And I personally am very ready to be like drowning in the deep field, flying through the air, falling out of the air in person because I am leaving for Montreal in 2 days.
Hell yeah. How excited are you?
I'm like, it's still sinking in because of all of the aforementioned life stuff. It was really like I just genuinely didn't know like over and over again, like whether I was going to go. Yeah. So now I'm like, yay, we're going.
It's happening.
It's happening, and I think this episode is gonna, like, recording this episode is gonna help it set in for me, but also, like, whenever I go to a concert of an artist I really like, or, like, a really cool figure skating competition, I think I'm in pre-shock, and then I get there, and I'm like, ah! So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, it's gonna hit me when I'm there.
I've had the thing of, until I'm sitting at the event, I will not comprehend that it's really happening.
Yeah, so and I mean God knows if I have any idea what's gonna happen results wise but I mean I can certainly talk about what I want to see, so and yeah. And then I will talk at length about what I did see, so get ready for that.
I'm gonna try to remember to check in with you at the end of this episode to see how you feel then when we've talked about
we could do like a, we'll do bit. Like a roses and thorns.
Oh wow, not a roses and thorns.
Not a roses and thorns.
Okay, let's do this. Do you want to go for men first?
Yeah, sure.
So, looking into Worlds, heading straight out of Euros and Four Continents, here's the thing. Here's the big thing. Ilya is probably going to win.
Yeah, and like, Yeah, I didn't know we were going to jump right into that, but...
Everything else is going to be colored by that, right?
No, it's true. You're right. And I've actually been thinking about this because I'm like, God, it sucks that... I mean, oh, God, maybe that's really, really mean to say, but it sucks that I'm probably going to be there when that happens. Because I would love to see Shoma win his third straight title. I don't know if it's going to happen. And, you know, I don't know if anyone else goes through life like this. Does anyone else go through life like this where you're like, good things won't happen because it's me and good things don't happen to me? So I'm like, of course, the one that I'm at will not result
In terms of Shoma boy failures, I was at the International de France in 2019. So I don't think you're going to have that bad of an experience.
That's true. I was like 10 feet away from Ilya, or that's an exaggeration, maybe like 20 feet away from Ilya when he landed the first ratified quad axel in international competition, which was very cool. So I do like him and I do root for him. And I have even just like a personal affinity for him just because I was there and it happened like in Boston in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe he'll deserve it. Like, I don't know.
I don't know, though. I mean, I'm sure he will. But I saw that interview with Shoma where he was like, yeah, he's just doing things that none of us can do and whatever. Like, it's so hard to compete with his jumps and shit like that. And I'm like, homie, your performance quality-wise, miles and miles and miles ahead. And it kind of sucks to see this. I mean, I know Ilya is, like, friends with everyone. I know him and Adam are, like, super close and, like, you know, doing tours and fucking doing side-by-side jumps and all that fun stuff. But I never like when we feel like we have a clear winner. It doesn't spark joy.
Yeah, it's always, like, a little anticlimactic, even if it's, like, your number one fave. I don't know. But, like, I think that... Shoma brought up an interesting point in that interview, which is he was sort of like, PCS has sort of reached the cap of what it's going to be, but like jumps keep getting more advanced. And it made me realize like, yeah, that's true. The way the numbers shake out, like,
yeah,
like scores, there's no upper limit on what a TES score can be because it's just a number, but PCS is always out of 10. Yeah. So there's no room for innovation there, which really sucks. Maybe they should rethink that.
Yeah, I've always been on the side of, and there is a lot of record of that on this podcast, I've always been like, well, PCS works if it's used correctly, which, you know, up for debate. But that interview made me kind of question my own... Because the thing is, we have been innovating, right, in terms of PCS. If you compare footage from the Olympics in 1920s to what people are doing nowadays, and that's the extreme example, we have a lot of very intricate, very involved performers nowadays. And I wonder, and obviously, like, you know, judging systems have changed many, many times in that gigantic 100-year time span that they just made up. But what I'm trying to say is I think we are innovating in terms of interesting choreo and depth of performance and all of that. And I don't know if that innovation is being rewarded.
It's true because, like, if the bar is this person's doing something that nobody else in the field can do, there's plenty of nobody else in the field can do this moves. You know what I mean? So if you're getting that kind of unofficial extra clout point of no one else in the field is doing this, then, you know, apply it to everybody.
Yeah, there has to be something to be said about, like, the performance quality of the whole thing. I don't know where I'm going with this. I guess I'm having the same issue here that I was having with the women's field couple seasons ago, and I'm not trying to implicate Ilya as, you know, being full of strawberry desserts, because I don't think he is, but I'm having the same issue of I feel like we're going in watching the race for silver and bronze, and I do not enjoy that.
Yeah, I'm
maybe
still
wrong. Maybe something will happen, and I don't know. He's human. All of us are human. I'm not trying to jinx the poor man. But
I mean, we've seen Shoma at his very, very, very best beat Ilya.
Yeah.
Not this season per se, but we've seen it happen, and we've seen Ilya, you know, not be his very, very best. So it's hard to say, but I certainly would like to see them, you know, ideally both at their very, very best and judged in a way that I approve of.
So you can, we should let the judges know that you are going to be there and you would be having words with them and if they don't judge in a way that you approve of.
Exactly. I'll be having strong words with them.
Speaking to the manager of figure skating.
Oh my God, being like the Karen, the only Karen of figure skating I approve of is Karen Chan. I'm sorry.
There it is. I miss
her. So, I know I miss her too. Why don't we talk about who could give the two obvious front runners a run for their money, and how have they all done in Four Continents and Euros, or were they even there? Because that's the other piece of it, is that a lot of the top skaters weren't at those.
And weren't at Four Continents, at least. Well, I
and
say that
a lot of the top athletes at those are not going to Worlds, so.
Yeah. God. So, here's the thing. I might be delusional, but I still think there is a world in which Adam pulls off something incredible. It would be very hard for him to win, I think. But I definitely see podium for our reigning European champion.
I just got a text from Bernie Sanders, and it said, Megan, here's how Adam Shaohimfa can still win Worlds.
Oh, wow. Good for Bernie. Look at him taking a stance where it matters.
Right? Like, this is what we need. Yeah, it's tough. I don't know, man, because so Adam won Euros, no problem, after a disappointing Grand Prix final. I think we were all really stoked to see him come back and deliberately dock his own points and do a backflip just to flex, which was iconic, and made it to Normie Twitter, which I was like,
God,
yes.
That, I can't even do the discourse that people were doing when that was happening. I don't even, it was iconic. I respected it. It was so very French of him. I
completely missed the discourse. I don't care to know what it was. If I personally thought it was a hilarious and rock star move.
Well, yeah, people thought he was being arrogant and so self-assured in his skills. And how dare he disrespect his fellow competitors like that and all of that. And it's like maybe he's arrogant about his math skills, because at that point he was like 20 points ahead.
I don't care about a little arrogance at that point. I'm going to be honest with you. Like,
fun.
If you've already won, you can be a little cocky. I don't care. I really don't.
I think it's fun. I like a little cheeky blemish on a very cool performance. And it wasn't perfect. Before anyone comes for me, I remember. But especially?
Especially because, as you mentioned, Adam is one of those friends of everybody. Like, you know, there's always those figure skaters that's just everybody's friend. He's friends with Ilya. He's friends with Brady Tennell. Like, he's getting along with everybody. Everybody loves him. So I don't really mind if he's then a little bit like, kiss my ass, you know? Because we all know that he's a nice person.
Yeah, and I respect a little side quest for my Euro champion. He's been trying to legalize backflips, I think is his platform, which I respect. I don't know why we're doing election jokes, but he's been trying to legalize the backflip, and all of his interviews were like, I thought I just wanted to entertain the audience. And that is something I respect very, very much. I care about the audience being entertained more than I care about athletes who are great at things knowing that they're great at things, you know?
Yeah, and that's a conversation that we've heard come up so often, especially this season. You're like Shoma talking about wanting to entertain the audience, I think, you know, it's something that like Dennis and Stefan have consistently said, talked about generosity to the audience. You hear Adam say it. Camden spoke about it when we talked to him a few years back. I think this, it's something that this generation of skaters is really focusing on. And that's not to say that it's new or that it wasn't being focused on before, but I think that it's not a coincidence that with the decline of like mainstream popularity of skating and, you know, the way that we were seeing audience sizes decline, I think they're coming back a little, which is really exciting. But I mean, I think I wouldn't be surprised if the current generation of skaters are really kind of thinking about like, how are we engaging the audience, you know?
I mean, yeah. And obviously decrease of mainstream popularity and all of that. But also this is the generation who had to skate for some of them their, you know, first competitions in seniors to empty arenas because of the pandemic, which, side note, still going on. If you're going to big things, mask up and be smart and safe. It's been 4 years. But PSA over, I do think that now that we're seeing bigger crowds at some of those events, Euros was fucking lit. We haven't even talked about how awesome the Lithuanian Federation managed to have that event be. And I know that there was some controversies, maybe some people in the organizing committees weren't great and all of that, and that is a completely separate conversation, obviously, but we've seen huge crowds and we see how hype things are when there is those big excited crowds who are just there to have, you know, a great time. And I think if you've spent a couple of years skating without that, it must be so nice to be back at being able to connect like that, you know?
Yes. And I'm kind of curious to report back once I've been to Worlds, because I think the string of the major competitions being very well attended and very hype has been really strong. And I know that Canada always turns up for figure skating. But I guess I have been, you know, kind of shocked and appalled by how expensive Worlds tickets are. And then, you know, people are showing, oh, there's all these empty seats right here. Why are they, why are they, you know what I mean? So it's something that I think it's worth going to. And I don't mind spending money on something like this. But it's also like, if it's not perfectly attended, I'm going to be really angry.
It's probably not going to be. And I'm going to be sad about it because obviously there is a lot of people who would have loved to go. I'm trying to remember. I know it was someone, it was an American skater. It might have been friend of the pod, Andrew Torgashev, who had pitched one time the thing of giving tickets away to like local school children and stuff. Like in this case, like local Montreal people.
I think that was Andrew.
I think it was Andrew. And I think that's such a valid point because people, maybe it's someone's first time ever going to an event like that. And it is so, so, so hyped to be in the audience and it's so much fun. And like you end up having such a great time, even if you are a little bit cold the whole time. I wonder how many people would be hooked if they just had that first, your gateway figure skating competition.
I don't know why, but I just kind of like got Ring of Keys stuck in my head.
Wow.
But is there a skating version of that?
Having your ring, well, yeah, Amber Glenn will be at Worlds.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there it is. God, I love Amber. Anyway, we're talking about men.
Her swagger and her bearing and the just right figure skating
and the just right jumpsuit she's wearing.
This before anyone comes for us, Ring of Keys is very much a song about how gorgeous and fantastic butches are, but still, anyway.
We're like, this is figure skating, so if you sometimes wear pants and like kiss girls, you're basically a total stone butch. So
Oh god, we can't.
Jokes.
All of this is jokes. We are allowed to make those jokes. Do you have a second to talk about our Lord and Savior Yuma Kageyama, who won 4 continents and was perfect and beautiful?
I have every second of the rest of my life to talk about Yuma.
I know I'm just regurgitating a bunch of online discourse, but did you see the discourse that was like he's had like one successful event?
Like, Yeah, and I feel like those people maybe fell off a horse or something. Like, what's wrong with your memory? What's going on? Like, did I mean, okay, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not here to gatekeep figure skating. If you got into it more recently, that's fine. That's fine. Get into it when you get into it. But don't act like you don't, like, don't act like nothing happened before you got here.
Yeah, the thing is, I am on Wikipedia right now and just hovering over his name without even pulling up his entire personal article, you'll learn that he is an Olympic silver medalist and a two-time world silver medalist and the rest of it, Grand Prix final bronze medalist, etc., etc. Anyway, all of this to say, I think he's also very, very, very much in podium contention, and him on a good day can be dangerous to all of them.
Yeah, also, like, I'm sorry, but is the Olympics ringing a bell for anybody? Remember when he won silver? Remember that? As I mean, my niece used to say when she was a child, remember
barely,
that?
Just about barely. I'm trying very hard to forget so much about those Olympics. But
that's true. But I also want to say, like, I don't know. I mean, you can kind of... I can only, like, debunk a random Twitter beef so much, because at the end of the day, like, context doesn't exist in that realm. But
yeah.
I feel like it's a very shallow argument to make to say, look at his successes, whatever, whatever, because anybody with, like, any kind of, like, modicum of understanding of data and statistics, and I don't say this as, like, I mean, I'm no Nathan Chen, I'm no skating scores, I'm no Jackie Wong, but how about
the holy trinity of statistics.
The holy trinity, those are the three mathematicians that I think are the most famous to me. Like, fuck Copernicus or whatever.
Wow.
Pythagoras.
Strong. Things are Euclid, heating up into math fandom.
Get out of my sight, Euclid, okay? Also, I'm not sure Copernicus was a mathematician.
He was an astrologer.
He was an astronomer.
Astronomer.
Copernicus was sitting down with the girlies being like, oh, honey, Mercury's in retrograde.
The thing is, you know how I was in a children's TV show where the ghosts of famous physicists and mathematicians and stuff would show up and help us?
Wait. Okay, net up. How long have we been? We've been friends for almost 10 years now, right?
Uh-huh.
Like eight and a half years now. I have known since very early on that you were on a television program about physics in Bulgaria, and you were, like, in my mind, sort of the Miley Cyrus of the JoJo Siwa. Child star, the Shirley Temple of Bulgaria. I am still to this day learning new fucking weird shit about this show you were on. Like, you have never mentioned ghosts before. Ghosts of famous physicists were on this show?
Wait, I did my comedy stand-up thing for my stand-up exam. We went to a very serious school. I did my stand-up, my Tight Five was about this.
I know it was about the show, but it's like the specific idea of, like, famous physicists' ghosts coming back that I have never heard before.
I might have been
too nervous. I get really nervous when people I know do stand up. I'm sorry, I didn't remember.
That is extremely valid. The whole premise of the show was, it was like a high fantasy world with witches and princesses, and basically in the pilot episode, a prince and a princess, who are brother and sister, get lost in the woods.
Didn't they get married in real life, though?
No, that's the same prince got married to a different princess.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
No. It was, they were a love interest on the show.
We love a showman. We love a Bulgarian PBS showman.
I explain all of this to Megan.
I want to watch an episode. I've only seen little tiny clips of you.
It is on YouTube.
We got to watch it. That's a bonus episode right there.
Yeah, we can do that. We can do, like, my first episode or something. But yeah, the whole thing is the witch kidnaps the prince and princess, and she's like, oh, I will only let you leave my house if you solve this very hard problem. And she thinks the only way to solve it is through magic, which they obviously don't have because they're, like, regular humans with commoner stats. And then the ghost of Sir Isaac Newton materializes, and he's like, I will help you. And he helps them, and then they decide that they like this too much and they stay kind of Stockholm syndromed at the witch's house. And then there's other witches and other side
characters.
And
then they adopt a feral child, and that's you, right?
Yeah, well, adopt is putting it mildly. I think my character canonically gets purchased. I love when your audio cuts out because I know you're scream laughing.
Oh my god, like, I'm sorry, my character canonically gets purchased. It's the worst thing I've ever heard.
I think I was like 9 years old when I started being on this show. I remember very little. All of this to say, Copernicus was one of the ghosts. And he had the cuntiest bob. He had
But you know,
like,
what, though? Okay, little black wig. Little fuck-ass bob on Copernicus?
Yeah.
I love this. I love also, before we return back to figure skating, I must point out that you were setting me up for this premise, right? And you were like, they have to solve physics problems, and they think the only way they can do it is through magic. And I was so ready for the next thing to be like, but the prince and princess knew math, so they solved them. And it was like, no, that would be too easy. A ghost comes and helps them.
Yeah, the whole thing is like, every single episode would have like a basic lesson that you would be learning through it. And the whole formula of the episodes was someone comes in and has a problem of some sort, and the only way to solve it is through summoning a ghost and figuring out some quick physics or astronomy in the later seasons as well.
Does anyone learn physics to a competent enough extent that they no longer need to do necromancy about it, or?
I don't think that happens. However, that's a great pitch for the reboot.
I mean, it's not as exciting, but anyway, okay. So speaking of people who are not having a good time, I do want to shout out, we're kind of jumping all over the place here, but I want to shout out the fact that, and then we'll come back to talking about Yuma.
Yuma? Is Yuma in the room with us?
Maybe his ghost will come and help me solve a physics problem. No, he's alive. So Matteo Rizzo is also alive, but he's having surgery. And so he did come in third at Euros. He's not going to go to Worlds, which
is
sad.
He's not going to Worlds because he's recovering from surgery, and he's posting a lot of nice Instagram updates. I've been practicing my Italian, trying to not translate his posts and read them in the original Italian, which has been fun. He seems to be doing fine. I think he was so surprised to show up and get silver at Euros when he, to the very like day before, wasn't sure if he was gonna skate at all. And I love a story like that. He was so thrilled. The men's podium at Euros this year was completely goated, actually.
Yeah, and so I think he took bronze overall, but he came in second in the free skate. He came second in the free skate after sixth in the short, so it was kind of a surprise, too, of what he was going to, you know, what was going to happen there. But so he won't be there, unfortunately. The other person who I think we would have expected to be there, maybe, depending on the year, is Kevin Amoz, but that shit did not go well at Euros. Did not make the free skate, pulled out of the rest of the season. You know what? Like, we've said what we've said about Kevin. I don't know if...
I mean, I respect him recognizing that he needed time. I do not respect his coaching team ever for anything, but I do appreciate that they didn't force him to continue persevering. Because I can see a world where that witch of a woman continues to make him show up places when he's clearly going through something.
Yeah, it seems like she is capable of being empathetic to some people, but not everyone, notably. So
yeah. No, fuck Sylvia Fontana forever. I am hoping that he's taking care of himself. He has been on social media, you know, he's back on the ice, he's kind of practicing, he's doing his thing. And I honestly really hope for a turnaround, because... Yes, he is a problematic fave and his coaching team is garbage. But speaking of what we were talking about like half an hour ago, innovating and escalating the performance side of things, he's obviously like a contemporary icon. And it would suck if he, in the summer, decides to retire or something. Because he is, you know, mid-20s. That's acceptable and normal. It would suck if this was his last season. If I were him, I would want to... not have that be like that, you know?
Yeah, and I would like to see him come back and then kind of innovate some more, you know, break out of the formula. Because we saw a tiny bit of potential there with Bolero.
Yeah.
I would love to see just, like, what else is he here to innovate? You know what I mean? Like, what else can he do?
I really hope that a reset helps him.
Maybe a reset to a different coaching team who didn't foster a culture of sexual abuse, which I realize that's all of them, baby. That's all of them. Figure skating is a dumpster fire. Yeah, I will be wearing all the teal at Worlds.
But. We just, because there is very little we can do. Obviously, protest if you can and believe survivors and all of that. But garbage sport. He's welcome to come train at my team. It's very fun and our coaches are nice people. But apparently that's remember when someone on the internet tried to imply that the old ladies at my rank were personally responsible for contacting WADA?
Yes.
A lot has been happening on the internet. The internet also a dumpster fire. And because it's also a dumpster fire, people have had some wild takes recently. While we're sort of in Euros, can I just real quick shout out the epic highs and lows of the Selefko brothers?
Yeah, Mom said it's my turn to have points today.
Mom said it's my turn to make the free skate and then end up as a silver medalist at Euros. Alexander Selefko, the people's princess. I adore him. I love both of the Selefkos, but the epic highs and lows, the Disney Channel original levels of success and failure and brotherhood. It's perfect. It's so good. And he's wonderful. He's wonderful.
He's Ukrainian. His parents are from Ukraine.
Yeah.
And so we always have to make sure we cheer extra loud. We get like super hype. And it's just so wonderful to see him succeeding. I just, like, he's so good. And I feel like he's, like, I don't know. It's tough being a smaller fed in Europe, I think, you know? I mean, you could tell me more about that than I could tell you about that.
Yeah, but. Yeah, it is. It's not great. But he is one of those people who has really, this season, I think, found a way to connect to his music and really, really perform, which I think is very special. And I'm very excited. Very excited to see what he cooks up at Worlds. What else is there say about... Well, there's a lot to say about men.
There is. I think what I want to say, I think I got distracted in a major, major way when I was trying to talk about Yuma. But basically, I don't honestly even... It's a shallow way of looking at his skating to say that it's just statistics, because if you have eyeballs to see, there are Yumas everywhere. There are Yumas everywhere with those super nice to see. What I was trying to get a clean take of. Yeah, but I couldn't get it out because it was stupid. But yes, there are. And that's the sequel to the Freaky Friday. No.
Do you want to give us a clean take right now, and we're going to keep all of this in just so people can clip it and have it as a mantra for their daily lives?
Sure. Here's your ringtone. There are Yumas everywhere with those for eyes to see.
For eyes?
did I say fries?
You said for those four eyes.
It's because I wear glasses. I was trying to be inclusive of those of us who wear glasses.
Wow. Give me one more clean take and then we can move on.
There are Yumas everywhere for those with eyes to see.
Amen. So anyway. Yes.
So the fact is that to me, to my eyes, and you may be mad at me in private and not to my face if you want about this. Listeners, I really think we're seeing a baby goat here.
Oh, we are.
I think, like, there's no question in my mind that, like, this is a boy who's already rivaling Shomat his best and Yuzu at his best. Why did I just say them Yuzu? Oh my god.
I mean, I respect it.
Something just came out of my soul. I don't know what I know. No, I'm just kidding. Don't come for me. That was just a weird mistake.
They're already anyway, on the phone with Interpol, Megan.
Anyway, I'm just, Yuma's brilliant. He's brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And I really, really expect to see him on this podium in some way. That for me, like, I think Adam is incredible. But if we look at, granted, okay, whatever, comparing scores from two events, not always, you know, whatever, different judges. But the scores from Four Continents, I mean, like, the total points of Yuma was 307. Mm. And then second place, he was way ahead of Shun, who was also brilliant.
He was gorgeous as
well. And Junwon, who I cannot effing wait to see.
Oh my God, you get to see John.
I do. I've seen him before, but I can't wait to see him again. So Shun and Junwon were less than 2 points apart at 270-459 and 272-95. That was silver and bronze at Four Continents. At Euros, gold was 276.
But
417.
It bears reminding that Adam did break 300 earlier this season at international competition.
Yes, he did. And so that's, yeah. So it's truly,
are the men gonna men and who's gonna men the most?
And that's really the question. It's not about who's gonna skate the best. It's about who's gonna men the most.
Yeah, honestly, because in the men's field, there's obviously a lot of incredible, incredible athletes, but you never know who's gonna climb up from 12th or something.
Yeah, and you never know what Bo Young-jin is going to do because he's so man. And that's the original truth. Man.
Wait, can I real quick? I have the entries list for Worlds open. And I'm just going to... I'm not going to read out every single man, but I'm going to point out some people that you and everyone there is going to see. Roman Sadovsky will hopefully be there with his skates and everything, with several rolls of duct tape to piss off the haters.
Seeing Roman live is such a treat. Like, I've seen him once. We were in a Saw movie together. Me and Roman Sadovsky were in a Saw trap together. He's beautiful. And,
Roman Sadovsky's Saw live. Trap is my new post-punk band that I'm forming.
Hell yeah.
We're gonna go on tour in Canada. It's gonna be great.
Canada only.
Canada only. Okay, who else? You're going to see Solovko. You're going to see Dr. Walter Virtanen. How exciting is that?
I noticed that earlier today and I was like, holy shit. Like, I can't believe I'm going to see the doctor.
The doctor. The doctor is
easier.
In.
The doctor is in. It is easier and it is easier and approximately about the same amount of money to see Dr. Walter Virtanen skate in a different country for me than it is to see my own doctor in America.
Brutal.
I can't joke about that. It's easier to see Dr. Walter Virtanen.
Who else are you going to get to see in the absence of Kevin?
He takes my insurance.
Oh, God. Does Walter Virtanen Finnish man in Montreal take American insurance? Please discuss.
Yeah, he only takes New Hampshire Medicaid because he likes me in particular.
I would respect that. You're gonna, in the absence of Kevin, you're gonna get to see Mr. Economy himself.
Look,
economy it is.
In
this economy. You're gonna get to see Nikita Starostin, which is such a treat.
Yes, little German boy.
Yes, little German boy. You're going to get to see Gabriele and Nikolai for Italy in the absence of Matteo, who is, again, recovering from surgery. You're going to get to see
Dennis.
And also,
I was like, oh, yeah, who else do we usually see from Italy? Oh, yeah.
Oh, that happens.
Yeah.
What is that? Come on.
Gressel's off hanging out with Kate Middleton somewhere.
Oh my God. They're sharing strawberry dessert somewhere.
I love it.
Much to contemplate. You're going to get to see Donovan.
I actually have seen Donovan and I've walked past him in a stairwell and I was like, he was so, usually I'll like say hi to a skater or whatever if it seems like they're in a place to receive a hello. When I saw Donovan, I think it was Cranberry Cup. I walked past him in the stairwell at Skating Club of Boston and he had this like entourage with him and they were just, it was like, you know, when you see a celebrity like entering a red carpet event and like, they're just in a whirlwind of like like it was that, and I was like, I'm not worthy to speak to this Mexican teenager. Like, he's so famous.
He is so famous.
He's so famous and so great. So anyway, I really hope maybe this time I could have the courage to say hello if I see him.
I do think you should have, like, you should be ready to interview people on the spot.
Oh, I will be. I will be. I'm ready.
I'm not going to read the rest of the entry list because there's a lot of icons, but I do want to say we get to see Jason Brown's gate, all of us, universally. And I am already kind of tearing up about it. I love this man so much.
Yes, and I get to see a friend of the pod, Camden Fulkinen, at Worlds, and I get to see Lucas Bridgeky do what it is that he does.
Be so curly, so tall.
Yes. I'm excited to see Andreas Nordebak. He's just kind of like
He's fun.
An icon.
Wow, you're going to get to see Josephine as well. Should we move on to women so I can keep going through this list?
I think we should, yeah.
Okay.
So let's talk about women.
Women. International Dare Month. We love women. Here's the thing. I think Kari should get to be the first woman in a billion years to have 3 consecutive world titles.
100%.
End of statement.
If I don't get to watch Kari win, I'm going to be upset. You know how a second ago we were like, I don't like it when there's a clear winner. But I like it when the clear winner is Kari.
I like it when the clear winner is Kari. And also, she has earned it so, so, so much. We know that in terms of just performance quality and everything, she is in a league of her own. And I don't think anyone would argue with that, including her fellow competitors, of which there are many. I think Jackie posted his preview like yesterday, and it basically, the TLDR of it was, there are so many women who could end up on this podium.
Yeah, and I think that aside from Kaori and, like, Luna, I guess.
Yeah.
It's such a young field. Like, it's such a young up-and-coming field. And I think in the women's field in particular, there's this, like, new-ish, like, this season or last season just debuted in seniors crop of women who are, like, absolutely the future. They're absolutely killing it. And, you know, we're going to see them be, like, a real threat at Worlds. So I'm really curious to see. If we're thinking about Euros, obviously Nina Pinzarone is the one to watch in terms of the young up-and-comers in that
from
field.
From the skating powerhouse nation of Belgium.
Yeah, and I love that interview that just went around of them, of, like, somebody asking her, like, are you friends with Luna? And she's like, no.
I mean, they don't have to be.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, I think she said something like, oh, well, there's a big age difference between us and we have very different personalities.
Well, yeah,
and I'm
Luna's
like, good.
24.
Good for you.
Yeah, Luna's 24. Good for you. Nina's 17. If you're 24 years old, you should probably not have 17-year-old friends.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just a matter of, like, they don't all have to be best buddies.
Yeah, and it's don't think they train at the same location or anything, so they really don't have a reason to be, like, best buds.
Yeah, like, not all Belgians know each other.
Yeah, that's very presumptuous. Like, I will say, at my skating club, I have a lot of teammates who are teenagers, and we do have great rapport on the ice, and we have fun. I would never be like, hey, do you want to go get coffee afterwards? Because there's, like, a 10 to 15-year-old age difference, and that is weird. And I respect Nina for being like, I'm not going to be friends with someone who should be at the club.
Should be at the club. And she is at the club.
She
sure is at the club.
She sure is.
And we could see her in the club of on the podium.
I would weep. I would be so, so happy if that happened. And I think it's very likely. Just looking at this list, there is a lot of... I mean, Amber is going to be there. And when Amber is on, she is terrifyingly dangerous. We get to see Kimmy back. I've missed Kimmy. I wonder if she's going to have toned her hair an Adam Solia level of silvery blonde this time.
Oh my god.
Did you know that Kimmy's middle name is Vivian?
That's so cool.
It is so, like, Swiss and rich. I respect it.
We're going to see Monet Chiba, who won four continents.
She sure did, and she was perfect.
With her, like, pamplemousse, Michigé, Michigé.
Phyllis, is it G?
Is it G? It is.
Is it G?
Oh, my Jesus. God. Is it G, Misha? Is it G? God, it's me, Misha.
Oh, God. This know. Is welcome. We've turned the plot here. This is Dada now. Isabeau is still a contender, I guess. Oh, that sounded so catty. No, but she hasn't been as rock solid as the beginning of the season painted her out to be, which I think makes this a lot more interesting than...
Yeah, and I think I do really like her new program. I think that it's smart, and
I said that when we talked about Nationals. If she had started the season with this package of outfits and programs, I would have been so on board way earlier on.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, I'm curious to see what happens with the Korean women, of course, because we have, like, Kim Chaeyoung, who's just, like, fresh off of, I believe, what, silver at Four Continents. We have Lee Hae-in, who we absolutely adore, who's not always the most consistent, but has had a really fantastic last couple seasons. And then Yoo Young, who is just such a, like, amazing person and amazing skater, and we don't always get to see her at her best lately.
Yeah, she's been having a rough one.
And I really, really hope she can... It would be just so nice if we could see her have, like, a nice triumphant world. So I would love that.
Yeah. And you get to see Josephine, like I said.
Oh, my God. My queen.
Very exciting.
See Rinka? I love Rinka.
See Rinka.
She came in third at Four Continents, which you simply love to see. She is probably I don't know if I could rank out my favorite Japanese women skaters. I think they all are unique and special.
Agreed.
But she's, like, one of my favorites. If I had to really, like, Kaori, and then, like, obviously everybody who's been skating since 2018, like, all the old guard. And then, like, of the new guard, Rinka for me is,
Rinka,
like,
is very special.
I just love her.
God, you get to see, it's such a, speaking of people who are dangerous when they're on, the People's Princess Madeline Skizas is going to be there.
Oh my gosh. And by she skates well for home crowds.
She does.
In Canada. She's Canada's princess, and she skates well at home. I'm excited to see Katya Kurakova.
Oh my God. I love her. I hope she does. I hope she has a good one, because she is one of those people who... She didn't have a great Euros. Let's just say, didn't have a great Euros. And it's been a kind of rocky season. And also, she keeps getting robbed. So, I really hope you get to see a sunny, high-energy Katya.
That would be incredible. I don't really root for Gubanova. And I don't... I don't know. I think even at her very best, I'm not necessarily worried that she's going to beat anybody that I'm really, like, rooting for. I don't know that she's a podium contender this year, so I'm not as concerned about it. But
your lips
know.
To God's ears, because according to Jackie and also my anxiety nightmares, I feel like it might happen in some way, shape, or form. I hope I'm proven wrong. I just don't like her.
I would be so surprised. Like, I feel like this has not been her most consistent season. I don't see her scoring. I mean, she came in second at Euros for sure, but I don't necessarily see her scoring anywhere near the top women.
I really hope it shakes out like that. I think she is, like, decently, like, top 10, top 6 even.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's such a deep, deep field of incredibly talented women. I would be partially upset to see her near the podium. But we can't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think top 6 is likely. I think top 10 is almost certain, unless something crazy happens.
Which you never know. Like, I know we joke about the men-menning, but there have been women.
There have been women.
There have been women.
Let me just say that. There have been women.
Yeah.
Who else has there been?
You get to see the goth queen herself, Olga Mikutina, which is
I'm
very
so
exciting.
Happy and excited about this. This is incredible news to me.
Yeah, you get to see, well, Sorry to report, but you're gonna have to see Elishka Brezhinova, which mere years ago would have been so exciting. Maybe she fucks with trans people. I don't know.
Yeah, you never know. Having a transphobic brother could mean that you too are a transphobe, or it could mean that you have a shitty transphobic brother.
Yeah.
You don't know.
He's gonna be there, though, probably with her, so you can boo him.
Perfect. Yeah,
I'm just here to incite riots at Worlds. I'm not going to be there, but I'm like, yeah, fuck it. Boo every terrible man.
I know. Well, I think there's been a fair amount of discussion about how to deal with all the terrible men. And I think the consensus is that, like, we're wearing teal ribbons. There's, like, official signs that you can print off that are, like, that have been deemed, like, supportive but not inflammatory enough to get people kicked out about, you know, cool. supporting skating survivors.
Anyway, yeah. Plushies. Are you bringing plushies?
I'm not. I'm not flying this time, which is good because when I flew to Nationals, they almost had to throw my plushies off the plane because they were too heavy. and that is not a joke. That is something that happened. It was my backpack had like 1,000 plushies jammed into it. And so it became like a weird, distended, huge shape that they couldn't quite figure out how to fit on the plane. And there was a lot of luggage. And so that was like one of the first ones they wanted to throw off. But I convinced them not to.
That would have been so funny.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I said on the pod that this happened around that time. And
oh,
then
I
people,
remember now. Yes.
Yeah. And then people would be like, oh, that was you. I was on your flight.
Yeah. Well, now you're going to have to find a different way to be recognizable.
Exactly. Well, so I will be wearing my iced tea sweatshirt, so you'll see that. And I think plushie-wise, I'm not bringing any. I don't know that I have the money to invest in plushies at this time because tickets are so expensive. But I think I would also feel really sad if I didn't throw any plushies. And so I think what I'm going to do is get there and then see what my budget is looking like. And if there's like a dollar store or something I can hit up and get a few for my faves. Then
I feel like a few just so you can feel like you're in the plushie throwing vibe is enough.
Yeah, I think so. And I also have to kind of feel out what's the vibe, because sometimes they don't want you to throw them or you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I would
right.
need to see.
Maybe you go the first day and you don't do any plushies and then you kind of see what the vibe is.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, hit me up if you already know the answer to this, like if you've done your plushie research. but yeah, I think I would love to.
Nope.
Ew.
Never mind. I said it and then I regretted everything.
Plurch. Great. Well, cool. I'm glad that that's the thing. Anyway, so we will be covering Worlds in, I'm assuming, like a very extra way, because I will be covering it as best I can live. And also, I think, Netta, I'm sure you'll be watching tweeting as well
in a way that
will probably be more coherent than what I'm.
Yeah, I will be tweeting a lot of it. A bunch of it is like midnight to 4 a.m. on work nights for me, which is not to say that I won't be watching. It's just to say, expect my side of the coverage to have the appropriate energy that we know and love of it is the middle of the night. I'm a little drunk and I'm watching figure skating.
So you'll have, it's the middle of the night, I'm a little drunk, and I will have, I am completely overwhelmed by being in the arena with these people, and so no one will be driving the bus, so it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, it's fully going to be one of those Winter Olympic sports where people run real hard and then jump on a sled and just, like, go down one of the ones. I forget which one is more dangerous. I think it's the one where your legs are pointing out of the fucking sledding, you know what I mean?
Oh, like skeleton or whatever?
Yeah, one of them is the most dangerous, and that's what we're going to be metaphorically doing as Worlds is happening. It's going to be so much fun. Now that we've talked about it, how do you feel about the very real reality that you are going to Worlds?
I'm so excited. I'm like losing my mind. I genuinely am really excited. I think that this, I was saying yesterday too, because I was out to dinner, with my mom and her partner because it was my birthday last week.
Happy birthday.
And they were taking me out. Thank you. I'm 34.
Hell yeah.
One of my students told me that I look 34 or 35. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
Thank you. So anyway, oh man, working with children is great. I love them. But so they were asking me last night, like, are you excited? I'm like, I think the thing that is making me feel like it's not real yet is I have one more episode to record about the preview of Worlds and the past few events, and then it's going to feel real. So here we are.
There it is.
I think, listen, if anybody, all of my socials and stuff are in the show notes and stuff, but Twitter is probably the best way to reach me. And if you have anything that you're a part of or that you're trying to organize or whatever that is somehow like raising awareness, or this is the thing we're wearing, or this is the sign we're holding for survivors in figure skating and for support of Ukraine and Palestine, hit me up and I will try to, you know, signal boost in whatever way I can. So get at me in that way. Also, if you are like a listener of the show and you want to say hi and you're going to be there, feel free to message me and we can get a chicken tender together, or you can just like wave at me or something.
One chicken tender.
Yeah, I will probably be the only person in the iced tea sweatshirt because we didn't make that many. We made like two. So if you see me and you want to say hi. It doesn't matter what I'm doing.
Megan is very nice. She is beautiful and intimidating, but she's also very nice. So go say hi.
Thank you. Yeah, I always look pissed or sad, but I'm usually really happy.
It's just her beautiful face is like that.
It's just like that. I'm sorry. Maybe I'll probably be wearing a mask, so maybe you won't see the sad, pissed off look.
They'll just see glasses, mask, iced tea pot sweater.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. Yeah, say hi to me. I would love to say hi and meet anybody. Yeah, I think that's it. Oh my God, so excited.
I'm thrilled. My coach is commentating a bunch of it for Eurosport Bulgaria. So I'm also excited because I'm going to have to, I think, be double fisting commentary because I do want to hear her as well. But I almost never watch Bulgarian commentary anymore. A lot is happening. A lot is exciting. Things are going on.
A lot is exciting. That's
a
like
lot is exciting.
The World's 2024. A lot is exciting.
I love
and there
that.
Are women.
I love that.
There have been women.
There have been women. A lot is exciting. It's almost Worlds. It's almost the end of the season. Can you fucking believe it's been another crazy one, and it's only going to get crazier as we head into Worlds. I wanted to yell, and then I realized it was going to be a terrible, terrible listener experience. Anyway.
Yeah, and I hope that this listener experience has been okay for y'all. I should have said this at the top, but I'm not using my usual microphone because I'm at my mom's house visiting. But I, you know, whatever. It's fine.
I think it's fine.
I think it's all fine.
This has been an episode. Stay in touch with us all the ways that you know. We are at ICPod all over the internet. I'm at Netta Marie. Megan is at Megan Kelleher 3. And you can contact us everywhere and tell us where to meet Megan for a chicken tender and all of that. Thank you for listening. If you're still here, we appreciate you very much. We'll be, as we said, around for a lot of deeply unhinged Worlds coverage. And in the meantime, I hope you stay safe and we'll see you after or at, if you're Megan, at Worlds.
Bye. I was so excited.
Bye. Bye. Bye.